Hello and welcome from Good Shepherd Church of Camarillo. We're so glad you're with us. Here's today's message.
All right, well, good morning, everyone. As Pastor Chad said, my name's Dustin. I get the honor and blessing to share this building and be the pastor of Movement Church. We just celebrated our first year anniversary, and it's been such a blessing. And I just want to start by doing some thank yous. So the first thing is to thank each and every one of you that call Good Shepherd home. You guys have welcomed not only us, but the other churches as well with open arms. And we always get to remember this. I love what Pastor Chad keeps saying. It's a kingdom mindset. It's like you have to think about all the ministries that you have here reaching the communities for the better. The preschool, the different schools, the young athletes, the different churches. Like, this is all one kingdom. We are all meant to be serving our Lord and Savior together. And you guys are doing an amazing job being such welcoming hosts, being the hands and feet of Jesus. So number one, thank each and every one of you for making this possible. Number two, I want to say some kind words about Pastor Chad, but after he cheated against the young man, I don't... No, but I hope you guys realize, like, this guy is the real deal. I've had the opportunity to meet with him and talk to him, and I love this man's knowledge and wisdom, and so I don't think of him only as a pastor. I think of him as a friend. It's been a joy getting to learn from him. So you guys are in for a treat each and every week that he gets to shepherd each and every one of you. So thank you, Pastor Chad, for your friendship and just the insight that you have. He's making a big difference in this world, so make sure you tell him thank you as well. And thank you to the board as well for welcoming us. It's a great responsibility to be a part of an elder board or council, and they have, you know, voted some amazing things forward. They lead your church well, and we're just thankful for each and every one of you. So it's such a blessing to be up here. I had to dust off my suit because each week Pastor Chad wears a suit. I don't... So I retired my Hawaiian shirt for the week, and I've put this on. But we are going to be talking about, as Pastor Chad said, someone that was down on their luck completely, and that's putting it lightly. He had a problem in his life. And as I was studying for this message, I realized that it was Father's Day, and we hear about, you can kind of picture it as we move forward, he has a group of individuals take him to this location for healing. And I could imagine my father being one of those people. If I were the paralegic that couldn't move, I could picture my father and some of my spiritual mentors carrying me forward in that same way. So as this message is going forward, think about those people who are in your life. But we're going to be going to Mark chapter 2. And as I was getting ready, I started to think about some professions and some places that some people don't often enjoy going to for some reason. Doctors, dentists, and churches are places that you need to go, but people will find any excuse like, no, I'm not going to go there. I mean, people won't go to the doctor until they're on their deathbed or they feel completely awful. Like, okay, now I'll go to the doctor. People won't go to the dentist unless a tooth is falling out or they can't stand the pain. And the thing with church is sometimes it's a lot easier for us to not walk through these doors because we don't want to take off the band-aid of the pain that we have been holding on to for so long. We'd rather stay at home because we don't want to deal with some of these things. Getting to church has been tough for a lot of people and for many various reasons. There are so many things pulling us in different directions in our life. It's a noisy world out there. And one of the things that may be keeping you away is your past. There may be things that you don't wish to uncover and you don't want to bring up because it's easier just to leave it right there. Your past may be keeping you further away from Jesus. Things you experience, the traumas, may be keeping you further away from Jesus. The schedules that you make in your life may be keeping you away from Jesus. Some of your relationships may be keeping you away from Jesus and stopping the growth that could happen in your life. But the thing is, we have to fight sometimes in our faith walk. We have to fight our way to Jesus. We have to be willing to take those steps to move forward, to get the healing, to step forward before the presence of our Savior. And sometimes it's going to say, I'm going to put this on the back burner. I'm just going to put anything I can just to move forward to see Him because we need His life-changing experience in our life. So whether that thing keeping us away is a person, place, or thing, nothing should be holding us back from our Savior. That's why I'm calling today's message, What's Stopping You? As we take a look at this scripture, we are about to see someone that has been stopped for one reason or another. We see a problem that's been keeping this man away from Jesus. But I want to set the scene first of what's going on. You see, Jesus has been on one of his preaching tours through Galilee. He's been casting out demons, he's been healing, he's been doing a lot of amazing stuff. The result was so many people began surrounding him that he would go from place to place to kind of escape the crowd and do more healing ministries. He said, okay, that's enough. People have got the healing here. They understand that they've been equipped. They're ready. They're on fire. Let me go to the next spot. And we see, if we look back to Mark chapter 1, he could no longer publicly enter any of the villages or cities in Galilee. There's just so many people waiting for him. So he preached, taught, and healed in remote spots. Yet whenever he went to these remote spots, people would search for him and find him and ask for the same thing. So it would just be a flood of people. So he took a U-turn and made his way back to Capernaum. But even there, the news spread that he was there. So let's go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, and we're going to let the scripture do the talking for us. It says, when Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even outside the door. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful for your teaching. We are thankful for your words. We are thankful for this living word that can come into our lives, that can transform our heart and our minds. So Lord, we just pray that our ears are open to what you are trying to teach us, that our heart is open and receptive to whatever you want to start installing into our heart and in our lives, and that this teaching is the wisdom that we need to continue moving forward in your ways and your will. So we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for your life-changing healing that you can do. So we just come before you, ready and willing, Lord. It's your name we pray. All God's people said, amen. So it's saying there was no more room. This house that Jesus was in preaching was completely packed. I mean, imagine here, there was just standing room only when he was preaching to this group of individuals. He was standing there and he was just preaching his truth. There wasn't anything else going on. He was speaking because he is the truth, and people were just ready to accept this word moving forward. What a beautiful sight that had to be. Just corner to corner, shoulder to shoulder, people on fire for Jesus, hanging on his every word that he was trying to tell them. People that wanted to hear Jesus had to do what they could to get to this location. People left early. They trekked a long time. There weren't golf carts to take you to church. There weren't cars. They were like walking, going there, leaving way early, planning their whole day around this because they wanted to experience what he had to say to them. Some people had to fight their way over there. And I personally am praying for this type of revival for all the churches as well, that we just get on fire and we want to hear every word that he has to tell us and teach us. We need that in this world. And it's at this point that we experience the character that we're going to learn from today. We see a man who is at a distance from Jesus. As we return back to verse 2, it says, while he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. So there's a lot to unpack here. Like I said, of course we're focusing on Jesus, but I want to look at what's going on with this man first. We don't know what kind of mindset this individual was that was dealing with these problems. We know that he was paralyzed. We don't know if that had set in where now he's feeling anger. Like, why do I have to go through this, Lord? Why am I dealing with this condition? Is he depressed? Is he sad? Is he defeated? All things that go to our head when you're isolated, you're by yourself, you want to do so much, you see other people doing all these things, and yet you were stuck in the confines of your own home. That has to be so tough on someone's mentality. Going to church probably wasn't happening too often for this man because he would have to rely on other people to get him to church. And based off of personal experience, the further we are away from Jesus, the greater the hardships will become. And the search for happiness becomes that much harder when we're not aligned with Jesus being in our life. So who knows what this guy's mental state was, what he's been up to, what he's doing to preoccupy his time. But this guy has some amazing friends, which is a whole sermon in itself, but here's a scenario that could have happened at this time. Either this man said, enough, I heard Jesus was in town, and I'm ready to get healing. And he calls up his friends, and he's like, I need you guys to be here. Can you be here? Can you take me? And he knows these four individuals are the ones that are always going to roll with him, that is going to be there, and they will carry him through. So there's this opportunity that says, I need to go now. Or these four friends saw their friend in such pain, in such sorrow, and they're like, this is enough. We need to just band together. We need to pick him up and we need to take him to Jesus because Jesus is here. So we need to just go. It doesn't matter what time we have to leave. Let's pick him up and let's leave. It's one of those two scenarios. Either way, they are on their way. They had heard about Jesus's healing people and were hopeful that their friend, paralytic, might be healed just as others had been healed before him. But the thing was, there was no way that anyone could get him into this house. It was packed. You could barely move the doors to get in. How are you going to carry this man on a mat alongside his friends? These four, you have to be pretty big dudes to carry this guy forward. How are you going to get inside this home? But these men were not about to be denied. They were desperate. This man was desperate. They needed Jesus at this moment. There's nothing that anyone could do to get in their way. They were convinced that Jesus is the one and only solution that could heal their friends and make a difference in his life. Jesus was the best chance for their friend to ever have a normal life again. So they did what most of us would say was the unthinkable. You see, they started to detach this roof. And let's just paint a picture of what these homes look like, because that helped me when I was studying for this. Those days, a typical house in Israel had a flat roof, and there was an exterior staircase that would lead around to get to the top of the roof. In many cases, the cities, there would be a series of homes which are built right next to each other, so you can kind of roof hop to one another. So there was only one staircase, and at most, you would have to try to find your way to the right house you were trying to go to. And according to what we know about these houses, they were constructed in those days. There were beams, there were rafters. And on top of those beams and rafters, there would be this plant material packed down with mud so it would cause a firm top and foundation. It was hardened clay. It was not going to be an easy job for these individuals to make a hole in this roof. If you've messed around with hardened clay, I mean, you got to do some work to make your way to make any type of dents. So this place was jam-packed, shoulder to shoulder, people. Jesus is right there teaching. There's all this commotion, and suddenly there's a noise up above of what's going on in this roof. Tiles are being thrown to the side. You're hearing this hammering and this chiseling. Noises are coming above Jesus. The dust is coming down. All kinds of stuff is happening in this moment. And what a sight this had to have been. I mean, imagine you were there listening to the teachings of Jesus and suddenly you feel this draft because there wasn't any open doors and then you see this light coming on. You're like, what's going on? There was so much happening. And I had to imagine as I was reading this, there are four faces staring down at Jesus and there's one face looking up and that's Jesus looking at them. Everyone else is focused on Jesus. What a sight it had to be. But as I was reading this, I was like, how come no one's getting irritated that they're taking apart their house? It's like, we have to realize that this is what can happen when you're so into the Spirit, when you're so relying on Jesus and paying attention to what he's saying, you kind of forget about everything else that's going around. You're like, wow, this is what Jesus is doing. This is the Son of God. This is amazing. And the world could be crashing around you, but you're like, I'm good because I'm with Jesus. That's what was happening. No one was saying, hey, that's my roof, man. Where are you going to fix this? What's going on? You'd think someone would have a problem with this strange interruption, but everyone is okay. Jesus is in control of every single service that's going on, whether it be in this church, the other churches, or in any ministry place in your lives. He is in complete control. Even when there's chaos is going on, if we focus on him, we will have peace. And as I study, I like to ask myself questions. Like, would I become as resourceful as these men to make a hole in some stranger's roof to get my friend healing? Would I go to bat for these friends of mine and say, you know what, I'm going to pick you up miles upon miles, I'm going to carry you, and I'm going to somehow take apart this roof? Like, do we have that in us right now? If your breakthrough is right around the door, I am betting that you would go wherever it took to go for that healing. If you said, if I go to church today, I feel that this is it. I'm going to hand my life over to him. I'm going to have complete transformation. I guarantee you're going to wake up early. You're going to set alarm after alarm after you snooze it so many times. You're going to drive as fast as you can to church just to get to Jesus to understand what he can do in your lives. Like, when we understand that the breakthrough is just right there, we will do whatever it takes. So what happens? They're taking this roof apart. There's a huge hole. They're carrying their friend down. And in verse 5, it says, seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. I thought he was paralyzed, though. So why is he doing this? You know, these men were desperate. This man was desperate, what was going on in his life. And what desperation does, it lands us faster to Jesus than anything else can. Have you realized that when you need Jesus more than ever, you're like, oh, there he is. And you just hang on to him and don't let go. It will drive you so fast to him. We need help. Who do we look for? We need guidance. Who do we look for? They knew this was the last and best chance that this paraplegic man would have in this healing life. And so everyone there, knowing the power that Jesus holds, now anticipated that Jesus simply would say a word and be like, oh, here you are, you're healed. Start to walk. Announce that he'd been healed. But Jesus surprised everybody by what he said. He instead said, your sins have been forgiven. He looked at him with compassion, and he saw the real root of what was wrong. And he said it with such authority and such grace that every single person in that room knew that he meant it in such a way that forgiveness had been granted by God himself at that moment, once and forever. This man's sins, they understood when Jesus said that, they understood he was completely healed in one way. Now, what was going on here? Did the four friends really go all this way just to say, hey, your sins have been forgiven? I don't think that's what they anticipated as they were carrying him all these miles. This is not at all what they expected or they hoped for. After all, they saw the man's most needed healing was his legs, they thought. Everyone, that is, except for Jesus, he knew what the true healing needed to be. It was Jesus who saw and knew something that no one ever would have guessed, that this man's most desperate need was not physical, but spiritual. His most desperate condition was not his paralysis, but actually the sinfulness that had been taking root in his life. Sin, the things in which we do wrong, those things which we fail to do when we drift further and further away from Jesus. Our sinful thoughts, desires, our selfishness, our thoughtfulness, our anger, our bitterness, our resentment, our vengefulness, our pride, all these things that keep us further away from him. We hang on to these things privately, thinking that we can manage it on our own. If I don't voice it, no one's going to know that I'm dealing with this. We do so much on our own that we wander away from the only one who can truly heal us. When we dwell on these negative thoughts, we feel less than. And here's the thing, when we dwell on, I'm not good enough, I'm never going to get healed, where are you not going to go? To church or to the steps of our Savior? Because you're like, I'm not worthy enough for this. This man had something going on in his life. And only Jesus saw clearly what this man's greatest need was. Not just for physical healing, but for spiritual healing. And if I'm preaching you today, I hope you open your heart to understand that he sees what's going on in your life, and he wants you to come before him. He wants you to come before him for the ultimate forgiveness that God himself can give you the freedom from. You know what Jesus' actions show here? That the most desperate need of everyone's need in this room and in every church is simply forgiveness. A lot of times we just need to come before him. We need to be released to this and move forward. He's here to offer us forgiveness. Do not let anything stop you from this relationship with our Savior. But instead, bust through any roof you need to get to him, to be in his presence, to say, I'm ready for this healing. I'm ready for this transformation. And everyone here needs to be desperate, just like these men were for Jesus. That's how we need to be expecting every single time. Is like, Jesus is going to do something amazing today. I want to do anything I can to be right there to experience it. We need that same fire. Because our eternal destiny depends on it. You see, forgiveness of sins is the difference between life and death. But in the middle of this beautiful story of this man's sins being healed, we're going to see another roadblock come up. Because not everyone loved Jesus' teaching. In Mark chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, it says this. But some of the teachers of religious law were sitting there, thought to themselves, what is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. You see, there were leaders of religious law following Jesus every single step of the way, trying to catch him in a trap, trying to disprove him, because they did not like the momentum and they did not like the teachings of Jesus because it took the focus off of them. And they wanted to be the ones ruling and authority over everything. These highly educated scribes or lawyers knew the Old Testament inside and out. They knew the word. That's all they did was study it and then proclaim, I know the word. Look at how smart I am. Let me tell you about it. That's what they did. So they followed around Jesus saying, okay, we got you at this moment. And this was no different right now. These Pharisees were waiting. And they came to see what the buzz was all about. They woke up just as early as everyone else and said, okay, you guys are maybe hungry for the word, but you're naive. We are here just to disprove and show the true answer. And so they were there next to all these believers. And when they heard Jesus say to the paralytic about this healing, all kinds of red flags went up. They're like, oh, wait a minute, you can't say that. They didn't speak up because they knew this wasn't the place to do so. And Jesus knew what they were thinking because, hey, it's Jesus. He understands. He knows what's going on in our lives. They were all thinking he was performing blasphemy. What he was saying was completely against the truth. Who can forgive sins but God alone? That's what they believed in, and they don't understand who Jesus is. They were on very high alert when Jesus made such an amazing declaration that this man's sins were forgiven. He was clearly implying that he himself was God. And we see what he was thinking in verses 8 through 9. It says, Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking. So he asked them, why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or stand up, pick up your mat, and walk? You see, Jesus' question is to redirect their thinking, and he does that a lot with us. We think one way, and he's like, no, you need to think the way that I think, so let me try to rewire it. And he's doing it the same way. That's why he teaches the way he does, to make us actually think. So then we think about it, remember it, and then apply it to our lives and start this transformation process. So he's standing them thinking. Jesus saying, I'm not just a miracle worker, I am the Savior. Like, this is who's doing this act right now. He's telling them, hey, this is me. And you have a chance to accept it or continue to try to nitpick and go against what I'm trying to teach and do. Any miracle can say what he's about to say and take up your mat and walk. But only the Savior of the world can go to an individual and say, number one, your sins are healed. Jesus is not claiming to be a miracle worker. Jesus is claiming to be the Lord of Lords, and that's who we get to celebrate each day of our lives and who he is. Jesus has the authority to dispense the forgiveness of God. That's the authority he holds. You see, it was harder to heal the man than to forgive his sins, because forgiveness is invisible. We don't know what we're walking around with. No one could say for sure at that moment the man was forgiven before God. People had no idea. Jesus could say that to this man, and he's the only one that could see, oh my goodness, I feel so much better. oh my goodness, there's a weight taken off of me. But everyone else can't see because our sins a lot of the times are invisible to the outside world. Yet it was instantly verified whether or not this man would walk or not. That's one of the things of physical and spiritual that we can see. So Jesus is willing to put himself to the test. He's like, you're questioning me over the sinfulness of releasing these. Let's see what else happens. In verses 10 through 11, so I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. This is something I could read week after week to just remember the goodness of Jesus, to remember what he can do at any moment in our lives, no matter what we walk around with, no matter what we've been carrying, no matter what's going on in this world, I know that we can go to Jesus, and at any moment, he can say, that's enough. You are healed. That's enough. Thank you for coming to me. That's the power that Jesus has, and that's something, if you guys can circle that in your Bible or underline it, like that is amazing to see. He simply says, pick up your mat and walk, and that sounds crazy. If you were to go into a doctor's office on crutches, You just broke your ankle, and he's like, the doctor's like, oh, you're healed. That's hard to digest. You're like, am I? And you kind of say, no, I'm not, because they're not Jesus. But Jesus can go to that one moment and say, you have been healed, and look what happens in this moment. You see, not only does Jesus say he has authority on earth to forgive sins, but he calls himself the Son of Man. As man, Jesus can understand our deepest needs and sufferings. And as a savior, he is the one who can repair and heal those needs that we need. Jesus is putting all of his power and authority on display for others to realize who is sent before him. That is bold claims to say, number one, your sins are forgiven. Number two, stand up, pick up your mat, and start walking. This man that was carried there, miles upon miles, he's been carried everywhere for the last part of his life. To hear that declaration, the excitement that man must have felt, the change, like, what does it work? Does it happen? Let's see in verse 12. And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, we've never seen anything like this before. This man that was paralyzed, this man that had probably given up hope, this man that had been looking for every single thing to try to fix this, except for Jesus. That should have been his first stop. But he saw this moment that he was the closest that he was going to be. He said, I can't wait. I just want to go. Guys, come pick me up. Let's go. Let's see what's going to happen. This man that has no idea how to walk anymore. If you haven't walked in so long because you're paralyzed, it's going to take some time. You've seen the videos online of people that have been in a wheelchair, and then they're finally getting the strength to start standing up and move forward, and you need beams to start moving forward. You need a physical therapist. You need all these things to move forward. You need help. And this man got help because he just bounced up and started walking. He probably forgot how to actually walk, and here he says, oh, no, I'm good, and I want to prove the authority and power of Jesus. He jumps up and starts walking. That's the power of what Jesus can do in our lives at any single moment, is that when we hand it over to him, when we are expectant in this answer, when we know the power and the authority that he has, and when we just go to him and say, Jesus, I'm ready, I need you, it's at that moment he says, yes, you finally understand who I am, and that's where the healing can start to happen. This man trusted Jesus enough to not even think about what had been holding him back anymore. He just simply says, I'm good to go, and started walking. The condition that had been holding this man back for so many years was suddenly erased. And for some of us, it's time to grab our mat. For some of us, it's time for us to start walking forward. For some of us, it's time to say, we trust and believe in you, Jesus. I'm not being held by my sins. I'm not being held by what's stopping me from moving forward in my faith walk and my belief in you. It's time for some of us to pick up our mat, take off the restraints, and start walking. But that's the excitement of this guy. I mean, imagine the tension in the room at this moment. The scribes were tense because Jesus had just challenged them. He's like, you think you know everything? Let me tell you who I am. And he would demonstrate that he was the Son of God. The paralyzed man was tense because, oh my gosh, am I finally healed from what has been plaguing me from so long? The crowd was tense because they sensed the tension of everyone else because they're like, this people are against them. You can feel when there's tension in the room. So everyone's kind of tense. The homeowner is tense because he doesn't know who's going to fix this roof on his house. And the four friends were tense because they were getting tired now because they had been holding this gentleman for a very long time. The only one not tense is Jesus because he is in control. The only one not tense is Jesus because he had perfect peace when he said, take up your mat and go home. The man immediately was healed. The power of Jesus to heal and the authority to forgive sins were immediately vindicated. Like the paralytic, we can know our sins are forgiven, and that's what really matters in life. If we are healed physically, that's an added blessing. If that man would have been carried out of there, not healed from his paralytic condition, he still knew where he was going to go when God took him home. And what a blessing that is. But Jesus said, no, I've seen your faith. You are healed completely. Physical healing is great, and we praise God for the wonderful healings he has given, and he will continue to give, not only to us, but the people around us. But we ultimately look to something that lasts forever, and praise God that he is the one that can grant that forgiveness, that he is the one that can release us of our sins and welcome us into this kingdom as a family moving forward. The great news about Jesus is that he can bring forgiveness to anyone. And I'm talking about to whatever you are holding on to, if you haven't accepted him, he can grant you that forgiveness. If people are watching online, you're like, man, I've been carrying this around for so long, he can grant you forgiveness. If there are people out in those streets, and that's where the ministry needs to happen, all beyond these walls, that's where the forgiveness can happen, and we can all be united in this family, this kingdom of one that needs to happen. This is something that will last forever. These earthly bodies only have a certain amount of time, but he knows where he is going. And that's why Jesus healed him in that way. The blood of Jesus is enough to wipe away even the worst of sins. If you are someone who trusts Jesus Christ, there is now no condemnation at all. You have been released. You have freedom in your life because of what he did. Look through the Bible. It's full of people that have done all kinds of really bad things. There are some bad individuals in here. I've seen stories on different Netflix documentaries of people that do bad stuff, but yet they come to Christ and they have this chance of forgiveness. Whatever you have done, whatever you've hung on to, you can still come to Jesus. He is ready to transform your heart. And here's the thing. He's the only one that can do it. Us pastors, we can say that's a really amazing testimony. I'm sorry that's going on, but Jesus is the one that can heal. We'll point you to him because he has the authority. He has the power to do these things. It's our job just to point you to him. He can bring forgiveness to anyone. Doesn't matter what you've done. And this thing can be very hard to grasp sometimes, especially when you feel weighed down by guilt day after day. It had to be a tough choice for this man to be sitting there and say, it's going to be another day. You know how it is when you've been going through the ringer at work. It's like, oh, it's another day. I just got to get through this day. There might be another tomorrow. It's going to be the same thing tomorrow. You just got to get in a rut. Day after day, this man had been walking. He was down on his luck. His friends wouldn't come over every day. It's like, man, it's just me. And sometimes we get in that spot. But if we just gather up enough courage to say, no, today's going to be different. Today is going to be an amazing day because who lives life with us? Because who gives us a life to live? Who gives us the power to continue moving forward? Don't let it weigh you down anymore. Release it over to Jesus. Give him your yoke. Give him everything that you've been weighed down with and just say, here, Jesus, I am ready for what you have to do in my life. God will forgive you, and you have every single reason to forgive yourself as well. You have been washed clean because of the sacrificial love of an amazing Father. God loved each and every one of you so much to give you this opportunity for freedom. That's who we get to praise on, not only Father's Day, but every single day of our lives, is that God wanted each and every one of us into his life, that he offered his son as a sacrifice. He laid down the most valuable thing in his life and said, here, this is the only thing that can take their place because I need each and every one of them to come forward. I want them to be reconnected with me. Jesus gave his life to bring this covenant back to God, to bring this bridge back to God so we can be united with him. And only Jesus could do that. That's how valuable you are to him. You have been washed clean because of who he is. So forgive yourself because Jesus forgives you. Love yourself because Jesus loves you. And believe in yourself because Jesus believes in you. It's an amazing act, and if you ever feel down on your luck or you feel like days are just getting longer and longer, please reread Mark chapter 2 and over read those words. Immediately, the man was healed. Immediately, the moment you start to feel something going south in your life, the moment you feel like times are getting tough, the moment you feel like you need healing, go to Jesus. Don't let anything stop you. Just simply go before him and say, I'm going to clear my schedule. I'm going to cancel everything that's going on because I need time with him, because he's the one that's going to make the difference. And I pray that your schedules are opened up, that we have open hearts to receive it, and we start moving forward into who he is. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for loving us so much. We get to read miracles like this, that it's a miracle only you can do. And when we read it, I pray that it just puts that fire in our heart and says, oh, I want other people to realize that too. I want to be a part of this kingdom work that you have shown us. I mean, the people that were in this house had to say, they had to run out of there and say, you won't believe what Jesus just did. He, number one, healed this man of his sins, but this man just jumped up and walked, and it's all because of him. And people had to say, I want to experience that too. Wow, really? We'll meet him at the next house church. Let's start hearing more about him. And people had to be sold out for him. So I pray right now that we have that same kind of revival spirit, that we feel that same kind of want and passion to say, you know what? I want other people to experience it too. If you've had your healing, if you've had your breakthrough, then use that to tell other people and point them to Jesus. He is ready to heal and transform everyone. All of us are welcome into his kingdom. We just need to know where he is. So may we cancel all the things of our schedules. May we get that passion to search for him and never give up if the door is closed. That means we have to try a little bit harder to get to him. And there may be friends or family members in your life that have not accepted him, and you're like, how far do I have to continue digging? You just keep digging, because eventually they will get to Jesus. Don't give up on him. Lord, we're thankful for all of the love and grace that you give us. We thank you for being you, and thank you for choosing us to be in your life. We thank you for being the most amazing Father that we can ever believe in. It's your name we pray. Amen.